Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio here at LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get some pencils and paper and take down any notes, any questions that you might have pertaining to the ministry tonight. And at the end, we'll give you an opportunity to share or ask those questions so we can all grow thereby. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more, by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace, as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we're going to, again, get back into prayers that avail much by transforming and connecting our lives through the power of answered prayers. We should always start in prayer, stay in prayer, end in prayer, and you will then walk in victory and enjoy life with the prayers that avail much. This would be part four of this ministry. And so, I can foresee it going on for quite some time because we all want to have answered prayers. We want to function in those prayers that avail much. But there are some things that we have to do, if you would. And I really almost hate to say things that we have to do because this generation has been bombasted with works rather than faith. And I would like to always point you toward faith and growth in the spirit as opposed to fatigue in the flesh. Okay? Because there are people that, well, Jesus even said this, they're going to say to him, Lord, didn't we do things, cast out demons in your name? See, didn't we do? Which tells you that they were, just as we are, they were steeped in religious activity, but they were not necessarily connected to prayers that are being answered. See, so I'm going to always give you things that are required of us, but they're not things that we have to practice religiously. Once you allow God to enter into your heart in his fullness, then he's the one that does the work, okay? It's not him waiting on us. It's us that's supposed to be waiting on him. See, prayer is very simply communication with God. And if we don't learn how to communicate, then how do you think you're going to be in position to receive? You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. See, God specifies the things that he wants us to do. He wants our heart. He was, if you would, he was introducing himself to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that's what he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and you shall worship, you must worship the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself." Notice what he just said there is he said, first love God, then love people. Don't pray to God about him trying to help you love people. Because if you love God, then the Bible says that because of the obedience that you display, you will then show that you are disciplined or his disciple by love. See, you'll understand love. You'll walk in the center of love. Or you'll walk in the center of his will. And when you walk in the center of his will, he says this in Psalms 84:11, he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly, that position themselves, Proverbs chapter 4, you should listen to his word, hearken diligently, and then when you do that, then you will be in the, you will keep his words in the midst or the center of your heart. And as his word is in the center of your heart, then you will be able to receive to the power plant those things that are necessary on a daily basis. See, Jesus told us as he was teaching his disciples to pray, he was teaching them also to submit to his will, to submit to his way. You don't ask just because you have carte blanche, if you would. You ask because you are prompted by him, or the way it says it in Psalms 37, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I choose to believe that as when I'm delighting myself in him, then he will deposit what he wants to bless. See, a lot of times we want to get from God what we think we need. But Jesus told us, again, in Matthew chapter 6, he said, your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you pray. So then my prayer gymnastics is not what gets the thing done. It's my heart in prayer that allows God to do what he already promised. He gives you the desires of your heart. I choose to read that and believe that way because I've seen people get in trouble thinking that they prayed according to his will, but they prayed according to their lust. See? And then when it doesn't happen, then the devil comes and tells you, see, God doesn't love you that much. Well, then I would ask the question, if in fact you think God does not love you, please tell me why Romans chapter 8 tells us that if he gave us his son for salvation, how will he not with him freely give us all things? See, we argue with God because we didn't understand God. I'll even go so far as to say that would probably be the reason that you argue with anybody, is you don't understand them. And rather than ask questions and wait, we make demands and accuse. See? We've got to grow up past that. We've got to get to the place where because his loving kindness and tender mercies are the things that give us the impetus or the power to get things done, then we should continue in the vein of his mercy. That's one of the reasons why his mercy endures forever. That his mercy is new every morning. That's what Lamentations says to us in chapter 3, verse 21 and following. It says, this is what I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He says that he has great faithfulness for this newness of mercy every morning. Great faithfulness. Okay. See, I like to investigate what's said. If he said he has great faithfulness to make sure that his mercy is new for me every morning, do I have to then begin to beg and plead? Did you not hear that the mercy that was new was made for you? Amen. It was not made so that he can withhold it for you, from you. It was made so that you can recognize it and then enjoy it. It's new every morning. That's not yesterday's mercy. That's fresh mercy. Okay? Why? Because he knows that every day, we'll do it this way, he knows that every day you're going to face different situations and circumstances. They could be from the same vein, but they can be presented to you in a way you never thought of before. That's why he has fresh or new mercies for you, because the devil doesn't get there first, beloved. The trials of your life did not get there before the mercies of God were already made available to you. Okay? I mean, we should just understand that the reason God made those mercies for you today is because he knew that the mercies that he gave you would be sufficient for the day. Jesus said that the evil is sufficient for the day. Well, do you not think that the mercy is sufficient for the day? Amen. At the end of the day, beloved, you will have more mercy than you will have challenges. Oh, you might want to write that down. At the end of the day, you will have more mercy than you will have challenges, because God will have no other gods before him. Just because you didn't utilize the mercy that was new for you does not mean it wasn't there. I mean, I kind of make this analogy a lot. If you lost $5 in your house and you knew you lost $5 in your house, the money was in your pocket when you came through the door, but some way, somehow you lost, misplaced, or did not do with the money what you thought you were supposed to do with the money. And if you say, this money is in this room, generally what we will do is we will dismantle that room looking for the money that's there. Why? Because we know the money is there. Why don't we do that for the mercy of God? That's new for us every morning. That when the devil comes in, the way it says it in Isaiah 59:19, it says, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. See? He didn't even say, like a flood, you would have to turn on the faucet. He said, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him. See? Before you have need of it, Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. See, we're going to have to get accustomed to stop letting the devil play Lord. I said it exactly how I heard it. Let's stop letting the devil play Lord. Okay? Jesus is Lord. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. See? So we have the power to stop the trial by simply calling on the name of Jesus. See? We don't have to let the devil play Lord. The devil is not almighty. He is not all-powerful. He is not omniscient. Those are attributes that are exclusive to God. See, so then when we begin to think like that, mold our thought process around the scriptures. See? Because if I don't mold my thought process around the scriptures, then I will ask amiss. I will ask as if God is not already aware of it, A, and if God doesn't want me to have the thing I'm asking for, B. Both of them are in error. See? And sometimes we feel like because of how we did, acted, or thought, that that's what's keeping the blessing away. No, that's what's keeping you from entering in. But the blessing, isn't that what he said? He said he daily loads us down with benefits. Psalm 68:19. Okay? He daily loads, he didn't say stingily gives. He said he daily loads us down with benefit, with an S on it. Okay? So then that means he wants you to derive blessing, benefit from him. But if you don't know him that way, it's going to be hard for you to enter into the blessing of God. Because the devil will remind you of all of the ungodly things you did, thought, said, and then he'll say, that's why you can't receive nothing from God. No, God offers us the ability to repent. And he says that when you repent, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It's been a lot of 19s this evening. In Acts 3:19, it says, to repent. Why? So that you can enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So what I see is God wants you to change your thinking, repent, so that you can enjoy times with an S of refreshing. Times that rotate and move, if you would. See, God is not stagnant. The first time we were introduced to God in Genesis chapter 1, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. See, he was moving from Jump Street. A better way of understanding that, the Bible says that he is abounding toward us. When Jesus was born, that was the statement that was made. It said, goodwill on earth, peace towards men. Towards men. See? He came looking for you, beloved. That's what the Bible says. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. I would try to help you with the truth there. You didn't find God. God found you. Okay? We'll keep going and explore that. Since God found you and he's bringing blessings that would overtake you, he's bringing the ability to overload, daily load you down with benefits. So then it would sound like to me, just from those scriptures, to get the understanding of he wants to see me blessed. He didn't come to, Jesus said, as he said about Jesus, that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through belief on him, you would be able to enjoy, grasp, understand, perceive eternal life. And whenever I say eternal life, I'm always reminded that eternal has to include my now or it could not be eternal. I mean, if Jesus said that in the afterlife you would receive, that would be one thing. But he said he has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's come that you might have eternal life. See? So then is now part of that? It would have to be. So since it is, then I should not be the one that's found without. I should be able to connect those prayers that avail much so that I can end in victory and enjoying my life. Okay? And there are times that we would hold unforgiveness against this one, that one, or all of them. But you see, forgiveness is an eternal requirement and is at the forefront of our salvation. The reason that forgiveness is basically required of us is because that's what it took for us to get saved. God had to display forgiveness towards us. Because there is none that is righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Why did he state that? So that we can then enjoy from repentance position the grace of God that abounds toward us. See? So if you want to get to the place where you can believe that God heard your prayer, God, that you know God heard your prayer, then you're going to have to start with his ability, willingness, and intent to forgive me so that he could then bless me. All have sinned and fallen short so that. Just go over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and let's start looking at that. See, because like I say, I know a lot of ministers that have preached that, and when they got through preaching it, you felt like the worst thing that could ever be, the pus underneath the feet of somebody. Okay? But that's not what it was for. It was never meant, because he said he did not come into the world to condemn. Okay? And I know that sometimes that's the way we feel. I know that sometimes we've heard the devil tell us that we were no good. Okay? I get that. But that's not the way God looks at you through the blood of Jesus. See? And I'm glad that the blood has already settled my account. See? So since my account has already been settled, then I should be in the position where I can hear truths that would transform and draw me into. Okay? Everything that's in this scripture is a personal invitation to you. Even if you found yourself in a position where you know that you were sinning against God, he says that it's the goodness of the Lord that leads you to the place of repentance. Okay? So let's look at what he says in Romans chapter 3, 23 and following. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, colon, being freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see? He accounted everybody as a sinner so nobody could miss his grace. See? He says, this is the way I made sure that a whosoever will can get in. But if I'm going to think that God's condemning me, waiting up there with a great big hammer to whop me upside my head because I sin, then I take away what he said in this verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being freely justified. Not because you did anything. He said the justification came to you freely by his grace through redemption. I mean, let's put the pieces back together. I was justified by his grace through redemption. And this redemption is found one place and one place only. It's found in Jesus Christ. And God, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness and to declare that the righteousness is for the remission of sins, again, read it, that are past. If the sins have already been taken care of, the remission of those sins has already been activated, then it's easy for me to believe that he hears my prayers. He says, through the redemption, for the redemption of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Who did this? Who set this up? God. He is the one that allows us to enter into victory because that's where he placed us. Okay, wow. I hope you get this. When we sinned, we separated ourselves from God. God didn't separate from us. We separated from God. But he says his plan was to cause you to be able to repent, and he's already given you the ability for those sins to be done away with. The remission of sins, okay, through his blood, by faith in his blood. And he says in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. So does he want you to talk about all of the bad stuff that you did, that you thought? Or does he want you to begin to say at this time, talk about at this time his righteousness? Why? That he might be just and that he might be the justifier of those of him that which believe in Jesus. He wants that conversation to be in your life. See? So forgiveness is a two-way street. There you go. I don't know if y'all remember that he used to say, I found love on a two-way street and lost it on a lonely highway. He says that this process is a two-way street. Not only is he trying to cause his righteousness to be understood, but he wants to be just and the justifier. What he planned here, he just said, it is just. This is his idea, his plan. It is just. And because it is just, when you allow this process to take place, it will then justify you. And the word justifier can be understood simply as just as if I'd never sinned. Justify. Just as if I'd never sinned. See, because those sins have been remitted. The remission of sins. See? Oh, wow. This is one of those times that's interesting. He put an S on the word sins there, didn't he? Mm-hmm. See? That those would be actions, okay? Sins would be actions. Sin is another thing. Iniquity is another thing. It's when you continue to repeat the sin. Then it is as iniquity unto you. See? But your action, he just said right there, he took the word sins, took care of actions. So then we've got to learn to approach God, approach heaven from his perspective. These are the things that he did. Okay? For God, and it says that he so loved. That's why he did that. See? This goes a step beyond just love. It said, for God so loved. Amen. See, we've got to, again, these are scriptures that we've said a lot, but we didn't somehow believe them or perceive that they were as deep as they are. See? So here you are having the opportunity to live by faith because of a so loved Father. He didn't just love you a little bit. He so loved. And I want you to catch that. He so loved people that were not even in the family. He so loved the world. Amen. See? So we want to be able to have confidence in the position that he's put us in. Okay? So he wants us to declare his righteousness, that you might see him as just and as the justifier. See, a lot of times we'll see God as just, but forget that he also is the justifier. And here we are continually approaching heaven as an old, ugly outfit. See? But that's not what he thinks about you. He is the justifier also. So forgiveness is an eternal requirement, and it's at the forefront of our salvation. If you don't forgive you, it's going to be hard for you to participate in the plan of forgiveness. Okay? You will think that God is the accuser of the brethren and that God is accusing you of all of those actions that you did. According to what we just read, he has taken care of sins. They have been dealt with in the form of remission activities. Okay? This is what God wants to do. This is his plan. All I'm trying to do is to unfold it and unveil it, because in some people's minds, it has still been hidden. Okay? So that's why it is now a requirement for forgiveness to flow through your life, so that prayer can be instituted. And prayer is like gardening, we said. Okay? It's preparing your heart to receive. Prayer is not like shopping. Prayer is like gardening. Okay? There is work involved in it, but you got to understand what you're doing in that work. If I'm trying to twist God's arm by praying, I missed it. See? God's not moved by that. He's looking at the heart, the Bible says. Okay? So then gardening is proper positioning. Okay? If you, let's just go, since I said it's like gardening. If you plant your seed in a place, first of all, in a place that's hard, okay, then that seed is probably going to be stressed out trying to push through the hard place. Okay? Second, if you put your seed in a place where it can get no water, then the nutrients that comes by the water will not be able to cause that seed to survive. You went through the process of planting, but you didn't do what the steps are before that. He said it was like gardening, okay? Jeremiah chapter 4:3 says this, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." So if I'm praying among thorns, let's just see if we can get this. If I'm sowing among thorns, then that would be the same as me praying something that I don't really believe can ever happen in my life, because after all, God is mad at me. He says, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. See? You can't have the wrong stuff in your heart, thinking that this is the way that I'm going to make it work, when you don't, A, forgive yourself, B, you don't know that God has forgiven you, and you won't forgive others. That's just a bad deal. Forgiveness is required. Okay? It's an eternal requirement. So then, since forgiveness is something God's looking for, he wants you to know of a certainty that you have been forgiven. Okay? In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and let's go look at that one. He says, he wants us again to do the things that are necessary to be done. See? So he wants us to be able to follow the grace path that he left for us. You remember the story of you remember the story of Hansel and Gretel, how they had a path of crumbs that was helping them to deal with all the things they had to deal with. So that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be able to have an understanding of the path that God left for you. Okay? So Hosea chapter 10, God says it this way in verse 12. He said that, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness." And when you sow to yourselves in righteousness, then he says, what will happen? You will be able to reap in mercy. Let's just make sure we're getting this. He said, sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. After you sow, did he then tell you to look for righteousness? Or did he tell you to reap in it? Once I've sown, then the process of my future has already been taken care of, hasn't it? Once you break up the fallow ground and sow in righteousness, okay? When you sow to yourselves in righteousness, then the guarantee of that is you will reap in mercy. So you cannot sow in the understanding that was given to you by a pastor that thought you was unworthy. See, you can't reap in righteousness. You cannot sow in righteousness and expect to reap mercy if you think you are unworthy. So I'm trying to walk you into prayers that avail much. Prayers that have more than you understand, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. See, so come on. So then if I don't believe God is forgiven me, has washed me, then what's going to happen automatically in that regard is God cannot do what he wants to do, because he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above that I can ask or think. See, I mean, God really is making this stuff very, very simple for us. I mean, you have to be dishonest to make this stuff not work. I didn't have a problem with you having a misunderstanding, but it's very hard for you to function in righteousness if you maintain a misunderstanding. Okay? Again, that's what the word repent means. It means to change your thinking, change your way. See? Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up fallow ground, hard ground, because it is time to seek the Lord. Did he say it's time for you to seek you? Did he say it's time for you to seek your mistakes? Time for you to seek your failures? I mean, if I'm going to sow in righteousness and reap in mercy, then I cannot seek my failures, can I? I should have an expectant heart for the new that God is going to provide, the new mercies, those mercies that are new every morning. See? And he said, seek the Lord because it's time. And as you seek the Lord, know this, that he's coming to rain on you righteousness. Wow, y'all, come on. He's going to rain righteousness upon you. Okay, again, let's try to understand what was said. He didn't say that he's going to ask you to work for righteousness. He said he would come and he would rain righteousness upon you. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath already reconciled us unto himself. And then he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, do you see how this works? He's not just asking you to condemn yourself when he's trying to get you to enter into newness. He's trying to get you to function in forgiveness that has already been granted you, so that you can then understand the righteousness that he came. And he didn't say, yeah, okay, just so we get it, he said he wanted to rain it on you. Well, as I look at that, it didn't say that the rain ever stopped, did it? He didn't say give a shower upon you, give a drizzle upon you. He's going to rain righteousness upon you. See? This is the way his kingdom works. He gives you more than enough to work with, and it is seems like we have been so busy throwing all of it away because of how we felt, or because of what someone else said. According to this scripture, I'm reaping in mercy. Okay? So as I'm reaping in mercy, that would be more than I deserve. See? The definition that they gave me a long time ago is mercy when you don't get what you deserve. You did the crime, but now he's going to give you mercy. You're going to get what you don't deserve. He's not going to give you what you deserve. Okay? You did wrong, but mercy says you're not going to get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Not only are you not going to get what you deserve, God is working it so that you get what you don't deserve. See? I mean, it's about us positioning our hearts correctly. We want to be able to pray prayers that avail much. And so the first thing that I would submit to you is that you cannot put yourself in the position where what you need is not what you get. He doesn't want you to walk away empty-handed. He said if you come to him, you open your mouth, he'll fill it with praise. He said he'll do that. See? Those are things that God has already set up for you. This thing is 100% rigged, 100% fixed, because he's the just and the justifier of all of those that seek him, all of those that believe in him. See? The devil has lied to us and convinced us that our sin is too great for him. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7:25 that he ever liveth to make intercession. He's able to save to the uttermost those that call upon his name. Save to the uttermost. See? So if you're going to participate in prayer, then you're going to have to do some gardening. Prepare your heart to receive. Not prepare your heart to be condemned. That's why I said prayer is not like shopping. See? Prayer requires you to have a clean heart, because those that have a clean heart, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6, says they're going to see God. See? A clean heart allows God to move in every situation. If you would, it's the highway of heaven. It's both the proper way, highway, and the pathway, accessibility and accountability. If you have aught against any, the proper way is for you to forgive. That's breaking up your fallow ground. That's gardening. That's not sowing among thorns. That's sowing to yourself in righteousness so that you can reap in mercy. Prayer produces intimacy on three levels. We become intimate with the one we're praying to, the one we're praying for, and the one you're praying with. See, prayer becomes a threefold cord. The Bible says it's not easily broken, not quickly broken. See? Prayer in this regard brings you unto, because you become intimate with the one you're praying to. See? Then you become intimate with the one you're praying for. You become acquainted with their griefs, their pains, and their sorrows. You become touched with the feelings of their infirmities. It also brings you into. Because unto is just not enough. See, you need to be able to see that an exchange is necessary for the one that you're praying with, for you're praying for. See? That change is necessary because of the one you're praying to. See, this prayer has intimacy on three levels. You begin to know God and his plan for your life, his will for your life. You begin to know him for yourself. The Bible says that in Jeremiah, that you won't be saying to everyone, know the Lord, but you'll know him for yourself. See? I'm not mad because some of the people, I grew up in a Baptist church, and because of that, there were certain people in the church that didn't understand forgiveness, so then they didn't use it for themselves, and they wouldn't offer it for anybody else. Oh, man, I know some, I'm serious. There were people that were talking about something that happened in 1922, and the Bible says that you're not supposed to let the sun go down on your wrath. How is it possible that you're still talking about something that happened in 1922? That's a whole lot of sundowns, ain't it? But there were statements that people would make that I can't forgive them. Well, since you can't, then there's no way that you can enjoy the mercy of God. See? Because unforgiveness is the prerequisite for salvation, deliverance. You don't let them go. Jesus said it himself. If you do not forgive, neither can your Father who is in heaven forgive you. And I mean, it's right there in red in the Bible that they say they preach from, but yet and still you have people in the body that will not forgive. And I said it exactly how I heard it, will not forgive. Because it is a choice. See? And then yet they want to have God to answer their prayer, to meet them at their need. How can God meet us at our need when we turn around and walk away from the provider of the need? Hello. See? That means that actually you had a chance to be intimate and you forfeited that chance to be intimate because prayer produces intimacy on three levels. You become intimate with the one you're praying to, the one you're praying for, and the one you're praying with. Prayer brings you unto. And then prayer brings you into. And the more we become intimate with the one we're praying with, the power of agreement now activates what we call the triumvirate point of presence. Them, him, and you. Okay? Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, if any two of you agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Them, you, and him. See? God's going to be there, period. Because he said he'll never leave you or forsake you. He's going to be there, period. The one in the mess is going to be there because that's where you find them. But if you don't desire to be intimate with their, acquainted with their sufferings, with their fears, griefs, and pain, touch with the feelings of their infirmities, then you are the one that's in question, aren't you? Am I there with them? Am I there for them? See? And since I decide not to be, I'm like one that simply goes shopping. If I can have it, I'll take it. I'm not going to offer anything to solidify that in my life. Shopping, let me tell you, shopping can be done online now. It doesn't garner any benefits through relationship. See? I mean, we've got to get past the point of just a drive-by. See? A rub-a-dub-dub kind of a mentality. Well, we don't offer ourselves in the prayer process. We just think of God as a genie in the bottle. You know, I need this, God, do it. But he says, no, you didn't have the intimacy that's required to have effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man that avail much. He's looking for a heart that is surrendered. Not a lust of the heart being produced and offered up as a prayer. See, God's looking at the heart. Okay? When you're just a shopper, then shopping can produce fleshy results. I got to have this, fleshy results. It can cause fleshy prayers to be offered up. They don't give you any support or they don't lead you to victory. They just make demands, lusts, if you would. When we get to the place where we know what we want, but we can't get what he promised. See? God wants to establish and build us up. He wants us to have confidence in what he's already said as our anchor. I don't know why it is that we sometimes try to get God to do something he didn't say just because that's our lust. God bless this mess. I don't know if you've ever prayed those kind of prayers. I know I did. Asking God to just do what I would want a butler to do for me. Because the butler serves me. God doesn't serve me. He wants to bless me. Daily load me down with benefits. but he doesn't serve me. He upholds his word, the Bible teaches us. And because he's upholding his word, then he can't allow sin to be the motivator for my life or my answered prayer. See? I talk to him, and he communicates with me, and he says, I'm pleased in what you have offered to me. You've offered up your heart, and then you communicated me from a heart that is sensitive and intimate with me. So it's easy now for me to execute because I gave you the desires of your heart. Easy for me to do them. Bringing them to pass is easy now. I have your heart, not your list. Glory to God. Let's start there. Some of us will have prayer lists, and we'll go over and quote our prayer list every day, but we have not given God our heart. We are not intimate in the place where we should be. See? And if I would get to the place where I allow him to have everything that's holding me back from entering into joy. See? I mean, I've told you all about one of the pastors that was at my church that just continued to do things that seemed to hurt me, and I was looking at them as they were an offense to me. So then every morning I would, every evening when I went to bed, I would have a dream, and the dream was that I would kill this associate pastor every night. And I say all the time, something's wrong with that from Jump Street, because here I am in the bed with my wife dreaming about another man. Something wrong with that picture. I don't care what day of the week it is. See? I wouldn't even allow God to let me be free in the time of my resting. See? And so I would do things and say things that never should have been said by me or thought by me. See? But here I am. Every night, killing the man. And then this went on for about 2 weeks. Then after I killed the man, I had the dream that I went to his funeral and shot him in the casket. I mean, y'all, you got to be a sick puppy to be thinking of some of that stuff. That's when I knew something was wrong. See, after I shot a dead man in his casket. And then I said, okay, Lord, wait a minute, just please help me, help me. And God said, let him go. Then I went through all of the things, just like the king when God, when the children of Israel were being let go in the book of Exodus, and the king had just about had as much as he can stand of the test and the plagues and the things that was happening. And God asked him, say, do you want me to stop with the frogs? And the king said, the Pharaoh said, yeah. Tomorrow. Give me one more night with these here frogs. That's the way I was. I would say, you know, God said, let him go. And I'm saying, well, but okay, I'll let him go tomorrow. I'll let him go when I get my justification, when I get my revenge. I'll let him go then. And really, there's not much God's going to say, but as you will, so be it unto you. See? And then when I had that same dream the next night, I said, okay, evidently I didn't do my part, because here I am asking God to deliver me. But I said, one more night. I said, okay, let me just stop. I let him go right then and right there. Because I wasn't hurting him. He did not know I was having these dreams. I was only hurting myself and keeping myself from the presence of God that would liberate me. See? So then I said, okay, that's it. We're not going to do this no more. I let him go. Father, I release him, and everything that he could have thought about doing, everything he did that he didn't know, whatever, any way I need to release him, I do that now in Jesus' name. It wasn't 2 weeks that he was no longer working for the ministry, not because of my prayer, but because God was trying to get to his heart, and God, he wouldn't let God get to his heart either. So then he couldn't stay. I would have been just as fired as he was, because I wasn't letting God get to my heart. See? And then I stopped all that madness and just said, okay, God, I give up. I'm going to do it your way. Soon as I made that decision, God went to moving. See? So forgiveness is a requirement. It's an eternal requirement. But if I'm going to do it as I'm shopping in the shopping center, the things I like, I keep. The things I don't like, I get rid of. The things I think I need, I keep. See? And my unforgiveness in that regard was something I didn't need, but I was definitely keeping. I was making room for vengeance. See? I was making room for vengeance in my life, in my heart. When the Bible says vengeance is mine, I will repay. But I was saying, no, 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 no. I got this, God. See? So then I can take my lust and my list up to God, but God was looking for my heart. See? So he wants me to have an anchor in what he's already said. See? He doesn't want me to have an anchor of how I feel. I mean, come on, y'all. I have an anchor of how I feel. Therefore, I cannot get to my destination because my anchor of how I feel keeps me away from the best that God has for me. Amen. See? Oh, I'm hoping I'm getting knee-deep in your kitchen here. Because that's not what God called me to. That's not what he can bless. So I need to have the confidence that when I know he hears me, when I pray according to his will, then I know that whatsoever I ask, I'll have the petitions that I desire of him. So as I stand praying, forgiveness must be active. So then we also went over Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and we learned that we have to be dressed for the fight, that we should arm ourselves. Because he said put on the whole arm hour. That's the way it's spelled. In the King James, it's spelled arm hour. See, in English, we spell it arm or. Sometimes that's the way we function with it. It can be this or that. So we have arm or. No, if I'm fighting in the spirit the way I'm supposed to, it will be because I'm dressed correctly. I will arm myself. I'll have truth on my feet. I'll have righteousness in my breath and in my heart. I'll have peace in every step, and faith is my defense, which gives me victory over the attack. I'll have his word in every thought, and I will be in constant communication in the spirit while observing to do his word. See? That's just another way of looking at Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armor of God. He didn't say take unto you the pain, the hurt. He said take unto you the armor of God. He doesn't even want me, come on, y'all. He does not want me to dress in that which is familiar to me. He wants me to take the whole armor of God. Last time the devil saw this armor, he knew he got whooped up. But if I go in my might, in my strength, in my armor, the devil said, no, you look just like that fleshy dude that I've been fighting with all the time. And there's no glory that's going to be in my flesh. In my flesh, there dwells no good thing. I cannot derive good out of my flesh at any time. In my flesh, there dwells no good thing. See? So then the devil knows if I'm in my flesh or if I'm in the spirit. Because if I'm in the spirit, I am armed with the whole, not with some of the armor. This is not an a la carte line. This is not shopping. Okay? But we keep thinking that, you know, for you, maybe God, you don't know what he did. If he didn't know what was done to you, how can he repay? How can he cause vengeance? I mean, just come on, y'all. Be logical in your thinking. Because a lot of times we'll sit up there and try to keep God from doing something because we think like Jonah that God is going to be rich in mercy He is. Be sure. He's going to be rich in mercy. Not because he's excusing something that was done. That's why he said, I will repay. But because he doesn't need you carrying weight that doesn't belong to you. He said that we should lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. Why do we need to lay aside the weight and the sin? So that we can run with patience the race that's set before us. I'm trying to run somebody else's race. And he said, I need you to run the race that's set before you. See? I found out that I have enough issues in my life that I got to deal with than me trying to make sure you do what's right by my thought process. See? Wow. Listen to how this comes out. We think that if they love me, they wouldn't do this. God said the definition is of love is when you do what I say. Did you get that? We say if they loved us, they wouldn't do this. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I say. He didn't have a don't do in that, did he? Yeah. You can see how we get things twisted. Love is always communicated through obedience. That's the highest form of love, obedience. See? And obedience is a requirement for you. Okay. See? So we have to do things from a different position. And we got to remember that prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Okay? Prayer is not just me telling God what I need, what I'd like to have. No, prayer is a dialogue. And when you understand that, then you'll believe for the prophetic, because prayer should also be prophetic. Prayer should not be complaining. Amen. When I'm complaining, I have to be talking about the past. If I'm praying effectively, I will be listening. Come on now. I will be listening about the future, because prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Oh, that one you can write down. That was a good one. See, if I'm effective in my prayer, then I'm not talking about my past. I'm listening for my future. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Generally, we talk to God about things that have already happened. Turn to Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 11. It says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. So God is saying, the maker is talking to you. And I formed it, and I formed it to establish it. See? So again, he's trying to establish righteousness in your life. He said it's time to seek him until he can come and rain righteousness upon you. See? He wants you to enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. See? He made this joy for you so that you will be strengthened by it to be able to accomplish his will by moving from point A to point B. And here you are stuck in the thing that you have been hurt by, because you won't forgive. And God is so patient and blessing. He'll wait till you come to the end of that thing and recognize that vengeance is not mine, it is the Lord's. You're not only are you holding up your blessing in that regard, you're keeping yourself in the place where you cannot be entreated by God, blessed by God. You stay in the pain. Now, come on, y'all. You stay in the pain because you chose not to forgive. But they was wrong. Yes, and if you forgive them, you can move on. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. That's Jesus saying that. John chapter 20. Okay? Whosoever sins you retain, you still got them. Whosoever sins you remit, the word is old English, remit is what you get on your bill. When it says, please remit the following. Pay that. See? But you decided that you're going to retain it because it looked like they're going to get away. They can't get away. But you need to get away. Hello, come on. Because if you don't forgive, then you can't get away. You're staying stuck in the place where you and the sin remain. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, you still got them. Like I say, I figured out I got enough to deal with my own stuff. I don't need to hold on to yours. See, so we're going to have to, if we want to have prayers that are going to avail, we're going to have to stop talking to God about our past. Let's listen to God about our future. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Verse 3, call upon me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that you don't know. So he's not going to talk to this scripture helps me understand that God is not trying to talk to me about things I already know. He's wanting to talk to me about things I don't know, my future, my destiny, his plan for my life. If I knew that, I would probably stop making it be pushed back days, months, years, because I didn't choose to do what was necessary to hear the dialogue. I just kept talking in a monologue, monotone monologue, saying the same thing the same way. See? Yeah, I get that you want to remind God about it, but he didn't forget it. Every instance that was levied against you, God wrote it down. Even when he set the children of Israel free, he said, now, I need y'all to go back because I remember what was done to you. And now I'm ready to deal with that. I'm going to deal with it because you're not trying to keep my word in offense. You gave that to me and I'll deal with it. God has a way of avenging his word in your life without you participating in it. Amen. Because if I'm faithful to God, then I will commit everything to him, knowing that he is faithful to deal with the things that I've committed unto him against the day. I can walk in that. I can rest in that. When you are harboring unforgiveness, it's difficult for you to rest in an evil place. Amen. You find no rest for your soul. Jesus said, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am easy. He said, you're going to be dealing with peace here. My way is easy. My burden is light. And when you get that, you will find rest unto your soul. See? I don't have to be upset thinking that God didn't get that and didn't fix that. He said, no, what you're looking for, Stevie, is you're looking for rest unto your soul. Well, in order to get the rest, you have to take his yoke upon you and you have to learn of him. If I'm learning as I learn of him, I'm probably not doing much talking about me, am I? Yeah. See, I'm trying to get you to the place where prayers can avail much. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. See? When you call unto him, he says, behold, I will bring health and cure. I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and the abundance of truth. And it shall be a name of joy, a name of praise, a name of honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I want to do. So look at what we do. We go tell 15 people all of the evil that has been done to us, but we didn't tell them none of the good that God wanted to do. Instead of me having a voice of joy, a voice of praise, a voice of honor, I have a voice of complaint, a voice of hurt, a voice of pain. So then I didn't listen to God when he said, call unto him, and he will show me great and mighty things that I don't know. Because he said, I'm going to bring health. I'm going to bring a cure. And we'd rather function with something that's infected, sick. So that just tells us again, we're not reading what he said. We're not believing what he said. We'd rather remind him of what we've gone through, having this monologue that he's not even a participant in, instead of going and finding out what is he saying about my future. I mean, I would like to know where my next step is supposed to be. Because, woo, that's good, sir. Because where my next step is supposed to be is also going to be where my provision is. I hope you got that. Wherever my next step is supposed to be, my provision proceeds me to where that place is. Amen. Amen. The devil is trying to make me go around in circles, and God has placed my provision in the place he's called me to. But I have no position in my heart. I have no emptiness in my heart to go into that position. See? I'm still talking to God in this monologue, talking about stuff that I know, rather than talk about the stuff that he said he wants to show me. Great and mighty things. The word of God is a prophetic word. The Bible says in Revelations 10:19, that he says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. 11:10, I think it is. See, it's the spirit of prophecy. And here I am continually over and over again talking about the stuff that happened to me, crying over, okay, wow. I see things differently, crying over spilled milk. In other words, I'm crying over a scene of an accident. I'm crying over spilled milk. I don't know if that's the way they meant it. They meant it as I'm crying over a loss, and I get that. But that loss happened by accident, spilled milk. So here I am. I'm standing over an accident that's already happened. You know, that's some of the stuff that we do. We see the red lights on the highway, the blue lights, whichever one, on the highway, and then we can't help but to look over there and see what happened. Here we are standing over an accident. While we're standing, oh, my God, while we're standing over an accident, we're dismissing the promise of God. He says, behold, I will bring health and cure. See, so then if he's bringing health and cure, and I'm still trying to look at what happened, looking at the scene of an accident, I should be participating in the scene of a miracle. Glory to God. Because at the same time there was hurt and injury, God says, I'm going to bring health and cure. But I have no expectancy for that. I only want to stand over the scene of an accident, the scene of a hurt. See? So now when I'm looking at the scene of an accident and the hurt, then I don't have the ability to expect anything from God, do I? Because I'm not looking unto Jesus, who's the author. Mm-hmm, come on, y'all. Who's the author and finisher of my faith? I'm now reading the wrong playbook, aren't I? I'm standing over the scene of an accident. See? When I could be the one that's allowing myself to be used of God to bring forth deliverance, healing, health, and a cure. But I'd rather look at blood and guts. Things in the past. When I'm supposed to be able to hear the health and the cure necessary. To be able to participate in the revelation of the abundance of peace, the abundance of truth. To find his name, okay, to find the newness of the discovery of his name of joy, in the name of praise, in the name of honor. See, these are prayers that avail much right here. He said, because I want to present that before all the nations of the earth. And they are all here of the good, of all the good that I will do. And they shall fear and tremble for the good. Come on now. He says there's a time that he wants to get us to that we would tremble for the goodness and for the prosperity that God will get for us. Mm. See? But we've been trained to continue to remember the hurt and the pain. We continue to look at things that are sick, dysfunctional. And the reason we do that is because I want to equate your dysfunction with my dysfunction. I want to function like a crab in the crab pot. Because I'm not going to let you get no further, and I'm not going to go no further. I'm going to watch, look at that which is sick, that which is unhealthy. If God said he's going to bring health, that would tell us that what's presently there would have to be unhealthy. Is that correct? Would have to be that which is lacking health. If he has to bring health, then I'm looking at that which does not have health. And then that which does not have health, and I'm watching it, looking at it, measuring it, then my next possession will be also unhealthy. Because as a man thinks in his heart, that's where you find the man. See? So now I look like a hurt world because that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a hurt world. He says, thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in that place the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. But if I'm looking at my past and my hurt, I cannot see his mercy that endures forever. I see my pain that I keep stirring up. I see the sickness that I keep inviting myself to that party. I have a pity party, and I'm the one that's inviting, and the only person I'm inviting is me. I will hear the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. And I'll hear those that bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And God says, I will cause them to return to the captivity of the land as at the first. since you didn't want to have the voice of the bridegroom. You didn't want to have the voice of those that say, praise the Lord for his mercy and do us forever. Then return to the place that you used to go to. God said he formed it. He established it. He wants it to be seen. Whatever he establishes, we get to discover. Whatever God establishes, we get to discover. If you're hanging around in the place where you were hurt, you're not discovering anything. You are reliving the pain. He wants to establish it and then allow us to discover it new every morning. When you wake up, your life has a levity to it that is created by discovery. Not a life that is redundant through injury, but a life that is opening up discovery. Wow. And then discoveries that are made in the spirit are the discoveries that are meant to strengthen us, stretch us, expand us as they sustain us. See, God has conversation and inspiration and revelation, which is the advent of prayer. See? These are the things that God has set up. He made it that way. He formed it that way. And we are his co-laborers, so he wants us to help. So then his way of doing that is through those conversations and inspiration and revelations. Or he prophesies to us. But we haven't trained ourselves to hear the prophecy. See? Don't forget, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. God builds on revelation. On this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not participate in this. They will not prevail against it. But he'll show us those great and mighty things that we don't know. See, that's the advantage of prayer, what I would call first-hand knowledge. Because in that place where God can reveal things to us, he says, surely, Amos chapter 3, verse 7, says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth it unto his servants, the prophets. Surely. See? He's wanting to let you discover things so that you can then operate prophetically in this life. You don't have to operate pathetically anymore. You can operate prophetically. Listening at what he's going to show you, the great and mighty things that you don't know. See? But he wants to do it according to Isaiah 29, 9-13. He wants to do it here a little and there a little, precept upon precept. He asks the question in Isaiah 29. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, them that are drawn from the breast. A precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may make the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. He said he did this, and the only thing he got out of it was they fell backwards, didn't believe, disgusted, broke, and can't be trusted. See, he said, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. That is prayer, is it not? Praying in other tongues so that you can be built up. But ye, beloved, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See? He wants to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. He said this is how he will teach them to understand doctrine. So then, prophecy to us is already doctrine in heaven. He's already said it, and it's already being accomplished. Prophecy to us is doctrine in heaven. Thy will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven. See? The prophetic to us is already established in heaven. Prophecy to us is doctrine in heaven. See? That's why we get to enter in. We must arm ourselves through prophecy, where we inquire and he instructs. We ask and the prophetic comes to us. Call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. See? He wants us to really participate in how we keep the devil out of the things that he's trying to mess up. See, that's why we pray mysteries in the spirit. And those are the things that are revealed. And he said, God says he will not do anything. I will do nothing except first a prophetic utterance is given. My servants, the prophets. Our job is to hear the things that I don't know. See? And as I do this continually, I'll grow up into the place God has made room for me. There you go, sir. See, God has already made room for us. And here we are trying to exist in the room that we made. Is this the house that God built or the house that you built? The booby trap that you set for yourself or the liberty that's in Christ Jesus? Oh, which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you. We just praise you. Thank you for speaking to us, showing us great and mighty things that we don't know, giving us a word, a prophetic word that will cause us to be able to enter into our destiny instead of being trapped in our past, trapped in unforgiveness, trapped in hurts and pains. Thank you, Father, that you came to set the captive free by giving us information, inspiration that will take us to our destination. A prophetic word, not a pathetic word, where all we talk about is the hurts and the pains of yesterday. Thank you, Father, that you established it, that you formed it, and you want us to enter into that place of rest for your people. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory, and we give you honor for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Again, we'd like to thank you for being a part of the ministry tonight. And if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments now. So area code 312-330, if you have any comments or questions about tonight's ministry. Amen. Well, again, thank you all for participating. As we enter into this Thanksgiving season, as God lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, we will enter into that Thanksgiving that you display by your giving of that offering, that gift. We just thank you for that, because as you give, know that God will give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Is that we've given unto you of our spiritual substance, it is no light thing that you should then give of your natural substance. That's the honor that God receives, and that's the offering that we receive in as much as you sow into this ministry. It helps us to do the things that are necessary, the things that God has instructed us to give to you, so that you can walk victorious, not looking behind, but looking forward, because God has great things intended and in store for you. And we're opening up those portals so that you can walk through in victory, so that you can walk through in clarity. That's what we would like to do. We don't want you to leave the same. We want you to be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the living God. And that's the way we approach each and every one of these ministries, is that we allow God to do what he could not do before, because you were not prepared as easily and readily as you are prepared even now. So again, thank you for letting us be a blessing to you, sowing into your life each and every Monday as we do the thing that's obedient to the Lord from the perspective of hearing and in issuing his word to you. So go to livedeliverance.com and look for the donate tab, and just be obedient and give as unto the Lord. And your reward will not only be in heaven, but God would cause men to give while you are here, looking for breakthroughs, expecting breakthroughs through this ministry. Again, until the next time that we come together, which should be next Monday, shalom. May God continue to lift you up, lift up the face of his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. The Lord keep you. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, his light to rise upon you, so that you will have clarity in the things that he's called you to. Until the next time that we get together, shalom.